Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Clearly, Willie is in charge of the jukebox today.
Oh, heck yeah. Quiz question. You know the artist?
Yes? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if
you
I
know the artist, D-Mace?
What year? This is...
This would be early 80s.
80s? Oh, not Tina Turner. It's not Tina. No.
No, no.
Fire.
They're a family. As in...
No, the Judds.
You're on the right track. Sisters? The blank sisters?
The Pointer Sisters.
Yes.
There we go. The Pointer Sisters, yes.
Okay.
Yes, there we go.
And the real quiz question there also was, who wrote that song? Bruce Springsteen wrote that song. Yeah.
Ah.
Good blend of talent right there. The Pointer Sisters and Bruce Springsteen coming together. Mm-hmm. I mean, now you got a Friday cutting edge playlist in the making.
There you go. And that is why Willie is cutting edge.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. Tell him, D-Mace.
He's been cutting edge for years. They ain't just started this year.
Two words I would never use to describe Willie Donick. Cutting edge. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in another fan of the Pointer Sisters, I assume.
Oh,
Mitch
yes.
Light of The Athletic. Hello, Mitch. How are you?
Good. I'm just at my little home office here looking at my three Pointer Sister posters on the wall here.
Yeah. And you're a Jersey guy, Mitch, so you know you knew that was Bruce Springsteen, right?
I did not, Willie. I cannot tell a lie.
Come on, Mitch.
That was, by the way, guys, I've known Willie for many, many years. That was the most non-sports knowledge I've ever heard from him. So he's showing some versatility.
Hey, he's cutting edge, Mitch, when it comes to music.
It only took until his 50s.
Yes.
Several decades.
Better late than never.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So, Mitch, let's talk about the slate of college football games this weekend. I want you to provide for us a rooting guide for Vanderbilt fans, outside of the Vanderbilt game, of course. So, if Vanderbilt fans, the Commodores need to beat Kentucky. Easier said than done tomorrow. But what other games should Vanderbilt fans be monitoring the most other than their own game in terms of who needs to lose for the CFP chances to look better for the Commodores?
Yeah. I think Missouri-Oklahoma is a big one, and that is more possible than I think a lot of people might think. Well, Bo Prabula is coming back from Missouri, and Oklahoma has been good, very good of late. I mean, quality wins at Tennessee in Alabama, but their offense has been average at best. They're kind of living off the turnovers, which they did in the Alabama game, well, both games. So I think that one could happen. I think a underrated one would be USC beating Oregon. A two-loss Oregon team's resume is really not that good. Now, that would enter USC in the discussion, but that's kind of another issue, I guess, right there. Some that I don't see happening, but Kansas State against Utah's one, and we might get into this, is, you can debate Vanderbilt's ranking in the committee. Utah's the one I don't get that the committee's love for, but they are playing Kansas State, who's not playing great right now. Miami at Virginia Tech, obviously a lot going on at Virginia Tech, but I don't think they've got the manpower to beat Miami right there. And then BYU playing at Cincinnati, who has been good at times this year, and then they host BYU hosts UCF at the end, who's not very good, so that's really their only chance to lose. So it's not a dire situation for Vanderbilt, and this all assumes obviously it wins out. But with what happened last week on the field and then with the ensuing rankings, Vanderbilt's chances probably took a little bit of a hit.
All right, Mitch, I don't have to tell Tennessee fans this, but it has been more than 20 years since the Vols have won at the Swamp. Tennessee is a 4.5-point favorite at Florida. Does the streak end tomorrow, yes or no?
I would say yes. Florida has been a weird team this year. They played very well at Georgia, had a few calls not go their way, lose on a neutral field. Complete no-show at Kentucky with the interim staff. You're thinking they're just limping to the finish line. Let's end this thing. And then they go to Oxford and play very well. It ends up being a 34-24 game, but that was a fourth-quarter game there. And Florida knows the streak. It's a big rivalry game, a rare late-season rivalry game. So I think they're going to get Florida's best effort. But I don't think Florida's best effort is good enough to beat Tennessee. I expect the Tennessee offense to go up and down the field in Florida and pick up its first win in a long time in Gainesville.
Now, Mitch, you brought up that Oregon and USC game, and I do believe that however that game goes, it has ultimately it can affect Vanderbilt. But if you're looking at it, wouldn't it be better for Vandy if Oregon did win? Because now you look at USC, they have a potential of being outside of that top 20. And the committee talked about, you know, teams like Notre Dame that have beaten teams or come close to beating teams, and they've held it. It's been a plus for them because they've been top ranked. But if USC ends up falling outside of that ranking, will that ultimately help Vandy in a sense? Because now that Notre Dame win against USC doesn't look so good, at least the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I would counter that by I don't think the number 15 team losing at the number 7 team would drop the number 15 team, like, in theory, 11 spots out of the rankings. Maybe they could if they blow them out, but I don't think we're going to see that from Oregon. We haven't seen, other than maybe earlier in the year, you know, when they were at full strength, Oregon with that capability. The whole top 25 thing is just kind of – I was going to use the word garbage, but I won't use the word garbage. It's like I'm not necessarily pro-committee or conspiracy theory, anti-committee, but the one thing that this committee has done over the years is show that they use that arbitrary top 25 as a way to justify their rankings or not. Teams magically appear in the top 25 and fall out of the top 25. The big one in the first year, if you guys remember, in the Baylor TCU one, I think it was Minnesota. The weeks they wanted to prop up TCU's ranking, Minnesota would magically appear in the top 25 and they'd fall out the next week. But I see your point, Derek, but I still think it would be better for Vanderbilt if Oregon lost.
Now, if it goes the way Vandy wants it to, meaning they hold up their end of the bargain and they're still excluded from the college football playoffs, will that be enough to cause another change sooner rather than later? Or is it going to take another team that has a bigger name?
I think we're going to 16 anyway. I don't think it's going to
– But you don't think that's going to, make it fast?
Yeah, I think you're talking about an SEC team getting squeezed out against some other teams that maybe don't – you know, resume isn't as strong, all that. Mm-hmm. That's how change is made. You know, powerful people in the sport aren't pleased with the way things are going. Whether it's Vanderbilt or another SEC team, I think we're heading there anyway. It would be unfortunate for Vanderbilt if it did not get in and then it went to 16 very soon after that. But, you know, that's the deal right now.
Mitch Light is with us from The Athletic. Mitch, Kentucky's won 3 in a row. At Auburn, Florida decisively at home, and then decisively over previously undefeated Tennessee Tech, for what that's worth.
Yeah.
So they're clearly playing better. Tell me what you're seeing. Why is that?
Well, they've been better since they made the change to Cutter Bowley at quarterback. I believe he's a redshirt freshman from Lexington. Was a big recruit. Was a top 250 national recruit, I believe, a 4-star. They paid decent money for Zach Calzada. In this era of NIL, it's tough to move away from the guy that you've paid to be your quarterback. But they did that, and they've been better. They've been pretty good defensively for the most part, but it's really the offense. You know, they've got 400 yards in 4 of their last 5 SEC games. They're not really a big play offense, but they've been efficient. Bowley is averaging close to completing about 70%. And, you know, the defense, other than the Tennessee game, has been good. They gave up 56 to Tennessee, and then they gave up 20 combined to Auburn, Florida, and Tennessee Tech. So the thing about their offense is, like I said, it's been good. But when they played Auburn, the best defense they played recently, they had 240 yards and 10 points. Now, Vanderbilt has struggled defensively. We know that. So that's going to be what I'm going to be looking for. Is it how much of that's just like personnel and how much of it is they just kind of weren't playing well? And Clark Lee, you know, he's the coach. He's going to think they can fix it. He said, you know, he keeps using the term get organized better. So I think that's going to be a key for Vanderbilt, is whatever they need to do defensively to improve, to show that the last 2 games wasn't what they're like. It was more like what we saw in Missouri in some previous games.
This is a tricky question because from Clark Lee's perspective, you can't think about these things. But do you think it's important to look like a playoff team when they play these games? Not only win them, but look like a playoff team in doing so.
Oh, I think definitely. I think, you know, this time of year, it's not just a math contest, it's a beauty contest. And how do you look? And, you know, this, I had this debate with some people earlier, and at the time, it was the right football play, but you go back to the LSU game when they took a knee and didn't score at the end there. Does a 14-point win against LSU look better than a 7-point win? But I would suspect, if Vanderbilt's in position to win a game more decisively, they are going to keep the pressure on offensively, because they were, you listen to the committee, and they kind of dinged a little bit by giving up all those points to Auburn, and maybe they weren't impressed by an overtime win over Auburn. At this time of year, when you're on the quote-unquote bubble, you need to do all you can to impress the people that are deciding your fate.
You just made a couple of really good points I hadn't thought of. And let's just take two things that happened in their games. You mentioned Diego Pavia sliding down at the one-yard line against LSU. He could have scored, and most likely it would have ended up being a 14-point win, as you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Alabama basically scores on a play where they could have kneeled down. They score, and the final score looks a lot different. 30-14 looks a lot different just by the eye than 23-14, which was really more of an indicator of how the game went, in my opinion. I would assume that the committee takes all of that into account. But it does seem like it can be used against you, right? Oh, they lost 30-14 at Alabama. Do you think there's like it could be, you know, I don't know, moved conveniently whichever way you want to make an argument? Is that fair?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you do the NCAA tournament bubble in basketball. If you are certain, you know, because people getting kicked off the committee and all that stuff removed, but there's, let's say, 13 committee members. There are parameters, but each committee member has certain things they might be more impressed with. You know, big wins, good losses, all that stuff. And they can use whatever facts they want to support or refute their argument. You would hope, especially with the handful of teams that they're deciding for the last couple spots, that they would dig in and know everything about those teams. I would counter that by, if you want to, you know, the Alabama game where the score was probably not as close, the game was closer than the score, you can counter that Texas was the opposite. You know, it ended up being a 3-point loss. And sure, they had a chance to get the onside kick. But then if you're a committee member who is sitting there, you can say, oh, yeah, it was a 3-point game, but they were losing by 21 with 5 minutes to go or whatever it was. So you just, again, you'd hope that they know the complete picture. It's not like basketball where there's 30 or 40 games. These teams are only playing 12 games, so they should have all the information right at their disposal.
Mitch Light of The Athletic has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donicky joins us every week during college football season to help us break it all down. Mitch, you can get back to your Pointer Sisters now. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I've got the greatest hits, Mitch, if you want me to pass those along.
A
CD from the suite back in the day when we were at Vanderbilt. Remember the five-disc changer? Did you have one of those in your...
Oh, come on. I had six-disc changer.
You had a six-disc? Okay.
You're selling Mitch short. He had one more disc.
That's why Willie's the JV and I'm the varsity right there.
Mitch, always a pleasure. We'll catch up next week.
See ya.
615-737-1025 will take your thoughts on the upcoming weekend in college football, including Kentucky at Vanderbilt, a big one for the Commodores as the regular season nears its end. But coming up next, man oh man, was there a lot of reaction to our interview yesterday with Predators GM Barry Trotz, and we are going to continue reacting to it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our show is presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.